Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 156. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. If you haven't already, take a moment to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it. Also, please leave us a five-star rating and review. If you do leave a five-star rating and review, send me a screenshot when you submit it and email me, and I'll respond and send you a training on how to find and analyze property. So I look forward to hearing from you. Shout out to Jason P. for his amazing review. He said, love hearing from experienced Black investors sharing tools and tips. Jason P., appreciate it. Make sure you email me and I'll get back to you with that training. Thank you so much for your review. So excited about this episode. This episode was absolutely incredible. It was with Justin Palmer and Terrell Hall. They are both the founders of PhD Homes out in Louisiana. They are currently working on building 32 homes and 202 apartment units in Shreveport, Louisiana. When I tell you, you need to listen to this entire episode and not miss an ounce of game, I'm serious. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, make sure you like, make sure you share. If you're on the audio side, make sure you leave us a review. Make sure you subscribe as well. Looking forward to hearing your reviews and your comments. So excited about this episode. Here with me today, I have Justin Palmer and Terrell Hall out of Louisiana. Definitely appreciate you two jumping on the show today and making me part of your vacation. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Likewise. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Before we jump into it, introduce yourselves to the people. Let them know who you are again and what you do.
Go ahead, Terrell.
Terrell Hall, Terrell the Builder on Instagram. We're real estate developers here in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Justin Palmer. Terrell and I are partners, PhD Homes. We're real estate developers and production home builders out of Shreveport, Louisiana.
I was going to ask what the PhD stand for, but I got it now.
Palmer Hall Development.
Love it. Yeah. So y'all are working on building a community of 32 homes and 202 apartments. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah. So we're developing a neighborhood now called Tucson Estates, Shreveport. It is 32 houses and it is 200 plus apartments. So it's Tucson's estate, and Tucson on Market is the apartment. And we started developing maybe like 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Right. Yeah.
And we're currently in production on 10 of the houses are actually going up right now. But we're working production on the other 32.
Love it. And so I know you two had a lot of success individually and you're coming together to build this company and build multiple communities. So what was it that made you want to work together? Because a lot of people don't think Black people, especially Black men, can work together. So we'd love to hear, you know, how y'all got started together. Terrell, we could start with you.
Man, we was competitors. I was
really,
yeah, we was competitors. I was beating them on every job we had. we was competitors though. We were bidding projects, a lot of custom homes, just a lot of projects around town. And I realized that, and he also realized that we both had strengths and we both had weaknesses. And where I was strong at, he was weak at. Mm-hmm. Where he was weak at, I was strong at. And we thought about it, you know, over a year or so. And we went to Toronto to sit down and to really put a game plan together if we was going to move forward. And should we put the game plan together? And within the last 12 months, you know, we've just been knocking it out the park left and right, you know. So over the course of probably 5 years, we've been dealing with each other, seeing each other. He would hire my firm to do certain things. And it just kind of developed a relationship, you know, from there. And we knocked it out the park.
Yeah. Love it, love it.
Yeah. I have pretty much been dominating for like the last 3 years, 4 years, and called Terrell and I gave him an ultimatum. I said, like, either you like join in or I'm going to like continue to crush you, you know? we always worked for whatever particular reason. We were supposed to be competitors, but we always realized that like we just work with each other.
Yeah.
If I use some of his infrastructure, you know, to better my business, he used some of my infrastructure. We work together on things that we can. It's much better, you know. Market share says that we don't have that much of the market anyway, you know. And partnering is something it's not a simple thing. It's not a complex thing. I mean, it's not a simple thing. It can be complex, but when you can partner, you should, mm-hmm. right? And it took a lot of for me, there was a lot of experiences over years partnering with different people, and it didn't work out. So I knew what I was looking for, and I knew what I needed, and I knew what I was looking for. And Terrell fit that for me, you know, and I fit that for him. And so it was just natural for us to partner. Right. We vetted each other pretty well over those years, though. It wasn't easy. I wasn't mm-hmm. accepting any more partners. He wasn't accepting any more either.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah. And something you mentioned is like strengths and weaknesses and just how you complement one another. Can you talk a little bit more about that? And I guess what you individually brought to the company to make it, you know, be able to succeed?
Well, Justin is he's light years ahead of like things. It's things that we're doing now that he thought about like 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I think, from looking at since we've been together, he's able to see the vision and say what the vision ought to look like. I'm able to put the vision together. Mm-hmm. That incorporates some of my vision, some of his vision, but the way it's aligned, it's like a lot of the things that he sees are some of the same things I see. And we're able to merge them together, and make it work, you know? So, I've over the years just been, fortunate to understand how to put, you know, things and people in place. And that was one of my strengths. Felt like as it relates to making it happen. You know?
Yeah. Guy's a brilliant operator, man. It's like this, it was a breath of fresh air like to watch him like run an office every day, to run all the people, to work with all of the different like pieces of our business. Terrell is like from one of the largest black construction firms in the state, you know, he's born and bred into that. And, a lot comes from being a part of that every day. It takes a lot to become that. It takes a lot to sustain that. And it's a lot of like great qualities that he like just naturally had. He just naturally comes with from operating that. And, I guess it's as partners, man, it's a great relief to like walk through the door and to watch all the pieces moving just how you dreamed of them moving, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do for each other. We do that for each other, you know? And when you're selecting the partner, it's much better if y'all aren't the same person, right? If you're the same person, then you still have the same problems. You know, right. with us having balance, our different personalities, you know, we balance each other out, and we've been able to do in 12 months, man, but not sure if like maybe it'll take a decade to get here. Right.
Yeah.
The developments that we have like lined up, the amount of houses that we like build all at once just to bring our business to scale, it happened quickly. But it didn't happen quickly, right? These guys been building for 20 years. I've been building for 10 years, you know. And our merging our resources, merging our infrastructure, and having the balance that we have as individuals has just been a beautiful thing thus far.
Love it. Love it. So a lot of people, you know, you might drive around where you live or somewhere you're on vacation or something. You'll see these communities going up. You'll see building happening. And for the average person, you're just watching, right? You see the construction, you know, it's in the construction phase and then it's done and people are living there. What y'all are embarking on is a pretty big project. So can you talk about like the process and what all goes into that? Cause I mean, I'm sure there's a whole lot that goes into it, but you know, most people who are listening or watching probably aren't aware of what all that entails. So we'd love to hear more about just the different aspects of the process and what it really takes to not only start that development, but see it through to completion. And Terrell, we can start with you.
I know the first thing it takes is a lot of capital. Mm-hmm. Being able to purchase the land years ahead of getting started, mm-hmm. years ahead of moving forward, and being able to sustain it over the years. The next thing is definitely understanding the city ordinances, the zoning rules and regulations, knowing who's on the MPCs, knowing who's on the city council, working through those differences, those changes, and knowing like the perfect or the engineers that fit your project, making sure they understand your goal, your vision, getting you from A to Z as well. And then while you're working all of those things, it's just a slew or a multitude of things that comes into play when making a development, move forward. We just have learned so much in the last 5 years that of course we couldn't speak on it all today, but it's just moving the pieces piece by piece. Mm-hmm. Simultaneously, you got to be able to multitask and do 10 things at one time when moving the development. Like Justin was speaking on earlier, if we would have been doing this by ourselves, it probably would have took us 10 years to get to this point. But with us together, we're able to move it a lot sooner than that, you know.
Definitely. And from the financing piece, like how do y'all typically, well, how are you financing the land, or how have you financed land in the past? Cause I know some people might want to get into this space and what they're looking at primarily is like, well, how am I going to afford to buy the land, for instance? So what are some recommendations y'all have on that?
So leverage is, of course, like, your best opportunity, especially if you come from, you know, the environments that we come from, right? You're going to need to like leverage. You're going to need to learn to leverage, but you're going to also need to have some of your own capital, right? Whether you're going to raise that capital or whether you're going to like, whether you have it, but you're going to have to have it. Complaining about not having access to capital, you're never going to develop anything. You're never going to do anything. So you're going to need to figure that part of it out. Like, you're going to have to absolutely figure out how to come up with money, period. You know, mm-hmm. It's no way around it. You're going to have some of your own money. It doesn't work like, or you're going to have a phenomenal deal and you're going to have to include people who have money. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you're going to use banks. You're going to use lending institutions, you're going to use private money. The same things that it's the same thing that everyone says, you know, everyone has, right? And like you for us, it's going to be a lot of our own capital, right? Mm-hmm. Period. It's going to be the 20 years that Terrell's been working, the 20 years that I've been working, the thing that we've like accomplished prior to us merging together. Like we're going to have to like put a lot of that up. Gonna have to do what it takes to like to become a developer, period. You're gonna have to do what it takes to like get into the development industry, and that's gonna mean that means that you're gonna have to put up. So I've been building houses for, you know, a long time. I've been doing this for 10 12 15 years, and we just got to the point to where we like actually like developing our own real estate and you know, over the last two or three years, we just got to the point where we're actually developing our own real estate. At one point in time, we had to like purchase land from developers, you know, it took a while to get here, but I'm saying all that to say, I hear all the time that we don't have access to capital. We know, right? We know. We all know. Every time we all sit down together, I just go ahead and say, like most of the time we sit down with some of our colleagues or some other African Americans that we're meeting. I say, hey, let's just get past this part. We know that like you're underfinanced, we're underfinanced, but that can't be what stops us. Mm-hmm. We gotta figure it out. We gotta get around it. We gotta have a better network of friends. We gotta like come to LA and network with other people like us around the same age range or whatever age range, and we have to like figure out how we're gonna get over the hurdles that we need to get over to, right?
Love it. Love it. Terrell, something you mentioned is city council, who's working with the city and things like that. How do you navigate the political aspect of this? Because I'm sure you talk about ordinances and just different things of that nature, zoning. How do you navigate that, and how have you navigated that over the years?
Really getting to know, you know, your city councilman, getting involved with the different races, the mayoral races, the all of the elected officials, you know, making sure you're donating to the campaigns, making sure you're involved in the community, making sure that you know what's going on. All of those play a big part in navigating your road to success, navigating through development. Believe it or not, you can't have no development without those pieces, because the city councilman, the MPC individuals, they could stop your development if they want to or if they choose to. So really talking to them ahead of time about your plans is like real key as it relates to this.
Got it. And what about your plan do you think it was that got you that approval to be able to proceed and do what it is y'all are doing?
I think just finding a need in the community and feeling it, you know. We we was looking for like different mentors and different people in Louisiana, but it's hard to find like Black real estate developers that done purchased 20, 30 acres and that has turned it into neighborhoods or created communities. And so for us navigating it through, I think the people want to see us succeed, like help the process, because we haven't seen no one else do it. Yeah. Like Justin was speaking on earlier, we've always bought land from other developers. Mm. Now this is our opportunity where the property was wooded. We putting the streets in, we putting the water, the sewer in, and then we creating lots, you know? And so, just navigating it through the process, and you learning along the way. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's things we're learning that I've always done this for other people, but never done it for myself.
Yeah.
You know? And so, doing it for other companies, other churches, or, other developers, trying to help them through the process, working for them, helped me know what to do for ourselves, is what Justin was speaking on earlier. And getting that experience from my father, it just created, you know, that know-how to want to push the needle forward, push the ball forward.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And so one thing that I found really exciting in my research is the name of the streets. Mm-hmm. So Toussaint and Dessalines streets. And so for those who don't know, Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines were two leaders of the Haitian Revolution. My parents are from Haiti, so I was even more excited about this episode once I heard that. But I would love to hear more about, you know, why you decided to name the streets of the community after those two. Let's hear from you, Justin.
So I read this piece of literature the Black Jacobins. I hope I'm like saying it right, but I read this piece of literature maybe 3 years ago, and it sent me down this, like, I just fell in love with like the Haitian Revolution and what it stood for, and Toussaint and Dessalines, and like the, although they're not Americans, they're not Black Americans, but they tell the story of the greatest story of these Black people, like beating oppression, beating the strongest forces in the world, you know, the French government, the Spanish government, the British government, and like liberating Santo Domingo, which is Haiti, the founders of Haiti, you know? And so those people became my heroes, because they had done the most extraordinary thing that I ever like thought of or saw. It's just, they did the most amazing things. And where we live in Louisiana and most of the South, there are lots of neighborhoods named Plantation this and Plantation that, right? Mm. And so the developer gets to choose the name of the neighborhood. So we chose the name of our neighborhood, right? You name your things after your heroes. You name things, you memorialize things that are important to you. And so it was important for us to memorialize our heroes, right? So anybody who doesn't know who Toussaint Louverture or Dessalines is should probably know, you know? Yeah.
Love it. We can end the episode there. love it. So you mentioned that the land was like wooded. So it was like woods
before. Yeah, all trees, woods, you know, nothing is there.
Wow. So once you get the green light, what is that process like to just get rid of all of that, create the lots and stuff? Like, can you guys walk us through what that process is? Because for a lot of people, it's hard to, you know, you drive by on the freeway, you drive by woods, mm-hmm. you don't think nothing of it, but obviously you got to have a vision to be able to see what that could become. Right. So I'm curious, like, what's that process from like trees and woods to land and so on?
Basically, finding key subcontractors, to be able to handle, the task at hand, you know, identifying the ones that can handle clearing 20 acres at one time or 5 acres or however you're phasing your project, being able to put your, schedule together with your different subcontractors to make it all plat and work together, you know? So, the process is kind of, each city, each area is different. Mm-hmm. So the process for Shreveport or the process for Keyville or Greenwood, they all had different pieces to the puzzle, but it's the same, if I could say it in so many words. But just finding really working with key subcontractors is important. Knowing not to hire your DNF contractors, you know, so, but that's a whole nother story, whole nother episode, you know.
So there's a multitude of subcontractors and professional services. There's a multitude of engineering and architecture. There's a, I won't say that it's complex because I don't want to discourage anyone, right? But developing is not as simple as it may seem, but it's not difficult once you learn. But there's lots of upfront expenses, engineering, architecture, like zoning changes, you know, lawyers, fees, just there's a lot to it and a lot of moving pieces and right. Beautiful thing. And so you even have like streets and drainage. It's a lot of things that come into play when you like developing a neighborhood. A lot of those things are like, it's like playing the orchestra. So me and Terrell talk about this all the time. So. Mm-hmm. And I always joke with him, but I tell him, I say, Terrell, they play instruments, but me and you, we play the orchestra, you know? And so it's playing an orchestra. It's exactly what it is. You have like dirt and bulldozers and heavy machinery working while you have engineers and architects on the left side working, you know, mm-hmm. and it all plays like music, you know. Yeah.
Right. And your in-house staff, our in-house staff is great, is incredible. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it by ourselves. You see us out front, but we got a staff of, you know, 10 plus people that's work full time for us in the office to make sure all the pieces of the puzzle is moving.
Yeah.
So really having your team is key. You know, you can't do it. You can't come over here talking about developing. You don't have a full time accountant. You can't come talking about developing. You don't have the proper project managers. Right. You can't talk about developing if you ain't got your human resources intact, you know? Right. And so, having a full time team that's like, to have your back. We always talk about we win the Super Bowl. You know, we all in this. Everybody's playing their position. Yep. So we could go win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's interior infrastructure. And then you have like outside people that you like, you have to use. You have to collaborate with other institutions that that behave similar to your institution. Right. Mm-hmm. You also have the pressure of like using people who you wouldn't particularly choose to use, but you feel pressured and obligated, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this thing that we say, like, before we hire you, get to first base. Got to get to first base first, right? If we're going to give you a chance, you're going to come work for us or work with us, we need you to put some form of work in, you know? Mm-hmm. We need you to have, like, done something.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of people want opportunity without putting in the work. You know, like, hey, give me the opportunity, but they haven't done the prerequisite to be ready for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
So that's all a part of like making the trees being removed is that, hey, you're on first base. Yeah. You ready and you can handle this, but you have to see the prerequisite. You have to know. We have to know that, hey, you really want this. Like, this is what you do. Cause you can get out there and use the wrong subcontractor.
Yeah.
And you end up worse than you did because, believe it or not, while the tree's still standing, you're already $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in before you even move a tree.
Wow.
You know, and so, that's real important for us is that you be on first base. Now, if you're on second base, it's even better.
Yeah.
But right. Being on first base, you know, we love giving a lot of people opportunities. We big on that. Mm-hmm. We big on growing your brand. We big on helping and assisting. But all we ask you to do is be on first base first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So building the neighborhood, I know you mentioned like, obviously like, plumbing and all the things that engineering, et cetera, all the things that need to be part of. Is there anything else that like you're mandated to include in addition to like the houses and apartments? Do you have to have like stores there, a school? Like how does that part of it work? Or is it zoned to like other schools? Like how's that aspect?
So it depends on the particular development and its zoning requirements. Gotcha. So each development, each parcel of land has a particular zoning in most cities, right? Mm. And if you're going to do something outside of that zoning, then you'll have to change the zoning, mm-hmm. which is a process, right? Or either apply for a variance, but you're going to have to change the zoning if your project doesn't fit that criteria.
Gotcha.
Right? And so this is a timely process. So developing real estate is a timely process.
Yeah.
You know, you may be 24 months before you start moving anything, you know, and it's a significant amount of capital that's required, mm-hmm. and a significant amount of fortitude to like maneuver through all of the things that are going to happen. Yeah. And the goalposts will be moved. Anytime you're on something this significant, the goalposts will be moved. And if you cry about the goalposts being moved, that's less time you have strategizing to like actually like win, you know? Doesn't work like crying about the game doesn't work. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of time, you know. The goalposts will be moved. I guarantee you, right? The criteria will change. I guarantee you. If you master something, the banking regulations are changed. That's going to happen to you, right? And if you cry about it, you just crying with the rest of the people who cry, you know?
That's what separates you.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you've been working on this particular community, are there things that have changed? Like, has the goalpost moved, if you will, in any aspect so far?
Oh, yeah. We've seen it all, you know. we went in and gotten these things done at the bank that I've seen, that I've done for other clients, and the bank will come in and say, oh, well, you got to have it like this. I'm like, I just did this for a client at the same bank for this, but for us, you got to do this. And so we constantly see the goalposts moving. We constantly see things changing once we get to the table. And we constantly have identified those things. But what make us great is we overcome every obstacle. And every time I tell him, every time that we get to an obstacle, it's just another opportunity. You know, every obstacle is an opportunity. So, trust me, it moves. It's going to move, but we're not crying about it. We're going to figure it out, and we're going to move on to the next thing. You know, that's what makes us great.
Yeah. So there are times where I'll get a little bit more frustrated in Terrell when it comes to things. And so there are times where I'll get frustrated and he'll say, I love it. He say, this is what being an entrepreneur is about.
Right.
And then I have to like rekey myself, like right then. And I have to think about it. And like, this is what being an entrepreneur is about. Right. They don't give you anything. Nobody's going to give you anything, you know, and you're going to get punched. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to develop real estate, whatever. It doesn't matter what, you're going to get punched. It's going to happen, you know. Just part of the game. It is what it is. And like, are you going to be great or not? You know? Like, can you imagine what Tucson and Dessalines had to like to free Haiti, to liberate Haiti from like the strongest forces in the world? Can you imagine what that was, what that took? Right? And like, you don't have the right to complain. You're going to be great. You got to be great. You're going to take the punches like everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Mentorship, just really cool. So, it's difficult for us to find mentorship, right? It has been difficult for me to find mentorship over the years. And Don Peoples is my mentor, although I've never met Don Peoples, right? But I pretty much read every piece of literature that he wrote. Yeah, and I had to. And I had to go find literature. I had to go find things. And I had to be mentored by like all of these people who wasn't easy. It's not easy. I had to like sit down and read. I had to like force through it, you know? So I'm just going to say that it's going to be hard for you to find a mentor, right? And if you don't find one, you're going to have to create one. And that may be a series. You may stack up a pile of books up, you know, and that's your mentor. Yeah. You know? So I just want to get that in, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the cool things that we spoke about previously is the fact that your company is vertically integrated, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. You know, usually people will have like an expertise in one thing and, you know, outsource certain things. And I'm sure there's things you outsource. However, to a great degree, your company is vertically integrated. So we'd love to hear more about that and what that looks like and how it just helps everything come together. Terrell, we can start with you.
Yeah. So at PhD Homes, we have what we call in Shreveport called the 11th floor.
Saw some videos about that.
Yeah. On just Instagram. The 11th floor. And basically what it is, you come here for everything when it comes to home ownership or when it comes to your building needs, where we've collaborated with a mortgage company. They're on our floor, where we have credit repair on our floor. We have a real estate brokerage that we own that's on our floor. We had a construction on our floor. We had a development side on our floor. And what they do is, it's like, it helps you if you have realtors in your suite that that have clients that want houses. Well, all they can do is walk across the hall and say, hey, what do you have available? Do y'all have any homes available over in North Shreveport? Do y'all have any homes available in Keithville? Yeah, we got these. It also helps us when the realtors are saying, hey, well, we need to get financing for this client. Well, boom, they can just go right across the hall to the other suite. So the 11th floor, and it's really just an idea. He's a brilliant, and this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying he's light years ahead. Because when he was speaking to me on it, I really didn't understand the entire concept. I was doing a lot of building, but I was building a lot of commercial things and building a lot of custom homes. However, Justin, he was already doing the spec home building, and he seen the need to have to be in touch with a mortgage company. He seen the need to have to be in touch with a real estate agent. He seen the need to make sure that somebody credit is right where it need to be in order to buy this home that he's building. And so we created the 11th floor just to make sure that the process is streamlined and everything is vertically integrated. So we got home buyer seminar classes on the 11th floor. So you come to one eye classes, you get discounts, you get things going towards your closing. We have, like I said, the credit repair. If you just need a few things tweaked, the mortgage company could let us know where you need to be all together. So it just all works together. And I let Justin, talk more in depth about, the vision God has given him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we're creating real estate Mecca, right? The 11th floor is real estate Mecca. And the model was something that maybe 5-6 years ago, I sit down and wrote out this model, and it's just beautiful that my skill set and Terrell's skill set is able to put this together. But we own a realty firm, right? And the CEO and the CFO are black women, There's these great black women that are dominant, right? And they had never had opportunity to sit in those roles because we had to create the opportunity, right? And so this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the legacy of Tucson and Desilane, right? So, so we created a space. We built a real estate firm into the model. It was part of the model from the beginning, but now it's time to execute, right? And so, Terrell is great at executing, right? Every day. So, we hired one of the best realtors in Shreveport, right? One of the best, one of the best African American realtors on the market. Wow. Right? And we made her the CEO. We hired another great African American lady, which happens to be Terrell's wife.
Right. And we made her in the family.
She's a realtor as well.
Yeah. Nice. And she's the CFO. And these people are here because they're black women that just happen to be black women, but they're dominant. And they were dominant prior to coming to work with us, right? We have one of the we've created a strategic relationship with a very dominant African American national lender, right? And within our space, some of the most dominant lenders in the mortgage lenders in Shreveport, right? They're here. They're on the 11th floor as well, So I'm saying that to say we're strategically placing the greatest talent within our model. We're creating real estate Mecca, and we have the best of the best, right? And they're easy to recruit because they've been waiting for this also. Right. everyone feels, has felt, underappreciated, like in their previous employment or where they were. They all felt underappreciated. So we all feel underappreciated. It's something that like we can relate to them on, completely relate to you on, right? Mm-hmm. When you come here and say, I know that they didn't treat you well there, right? Well, I can guarantee you here, you'll be treated well. You'll be understood. I can guarantee you that. I'll tell you though, that the bar is very high and you're going to have to like operate at a real high level, but you will be appreciated. I do understand your plight. Believe me, right? Terrell understands your plight. Right. And just to see all of these dominant African Americans come together and operate together. And I'll just say this, right? So for us, man, we run a great business, right? Mm-hmm. We have great professionalism, infrastructure. We've done all of the things that any other great business in this country. We operate like those companies, right? We just happen to be black. You can just see, if you walk down this hall, you'll just notice that we're black, right? But our business acumen is like, it's there. And if you buy services or products from us, we don't ask you to compromise quality. We don't ask you to compromise customer service. We're not asking you to compromise anything, right? We're asking you to just give us a chance. Make sure that you like look at our product next to their product, right? Just give us an opportunity. We will not give you a subpar like product, right? We don't believe in issuing subpar products.
Right? We got the best product in the market, man.
Yeah,
we got the best product.
It looks amazing, man.
Hands down, you could put our product up against anybody else. We had the best product in the market, you know, and he was saying it without saying it, but I'm confident enough to say, you know, the construction, the quality is there. When you call the office, the professionalism is there. When you get a mortgage, the professionalism is there. You might not be approved at this other company, you know, on certain things, but they know a way to work it to make sure that it works for you if the opportunity presents itself. You know, if you go across the street, they might not tell you what need to be fixed on your credit, but we go a step further to say, hey, fix these things. And the mortgage lenders will let them know what needs to be fixed, mm-hmm. you know? And so, that's just kind of, we got the best product on the market, you know?
Love it. Love it. So if I want to buy one of the homes, in the community, like what's that process like for a prospective buyer for one of these new builds?
Well, we do have a model home in the Tucson Estates community. It'll be opening up February 17th. Nice. We're doing a grand opening. We'll have an agent in the house Monday through Fridays at all time. We have multiple open houses. And so the model home, you come in, get your application, fill out, let us know which one you're interested in. If you want one of the houses down the road, you catch it early enough, you'll be able to choose some finishes, choose some things that you would like to, you know, in the house. So model home is the way to get you in contact with us, stopping by there for sure.
Got you. And you're saying if someone catches it before they all start getting billed, they'll be able to customize it a bit?
Yes, they could add customizations. They want a different floor, or they want another paint color or something like that. Not necessarily those options. Those are just examples of what can be changed, but it is some customization that can happen if you catch it, the bill, soon enough.
Got you. So I personally think there's a lot of advantages to buying a newly built home that people may not be aware of. So what would you two say are some of the benefits of buying like a brand new home that's a new building, not a home, for example, maybe that is 70 years old or something?
You're the first one to use the toilet. You're the first one to use the toilet. That's one of the advantages. You know, there's many advantages. Everything's under warranty. Steel. You don't have to worry about something breaking down and you don't have no one to call to fix it. You have warranties for sure, and Justin could, you know, go in on more of what the advantages
is. Yeah. So there's typically, if you purchase a neighbor, if you purchase in a neighborhood that's developing, right? Home value normally like increases at a steady rate. Typically the earlier you get into the development, you know, the higher upside, in the, value of the home. You got things like air quality. You got things like, HVAC systems, things like, building materials that like dated building materials that like health causes, health issues, you know, and older neighborhoods are developed in a way that's not so modern to the modern user, you know. So this is, we can go on forever with like advantages for new constructions over maintenance, you know, roofing, just there are tons of things that like it's way better. It's much better to live in a new product. It's kind of like a car, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot like a car. Yeah. You know? Just technology is just so much more advanced. You just, yeah.
Love it. Are there any unique aspects of these homes that someone may not see in other homes, or anything unique?
They're all smart homes.
Oh, dope.
All of them have smart features, smart things that, you know, now we use every day. So they are smart homes. We're in a few, far as the utilities, we did some things different, energy efficient. Mm-hmm. We have that in place, in the homes. I think the square footage and the size that we're building at the price points is really beneficial. In Shreveport, you don't have a lot of two-story spec homes, so mm-hmm. we do have two-story spec homes available as well. So,
yeah. Great design. Great designers. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely great designer. Yeah.
By the best designer.
So you can basically like run, you'll basically be able to run the home from your phone. Pretty much, is that how a smart home works?
Yes.
Gotcha. Yes, so like heat, electric, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can operate it from your phone.
Got mm-hmm. it. That's crazy. As far as the energy efficiency, is it solar or different type of efficiency situation?
Yeah, no solar, uh-huh. but definitely on the electrical end. Gotcha. It's all electric. Gotcha. It helps out a lot with the utility bills. It saves with the gas. So all electric for sure.
Yeah. All the appliances, insulation, a lot of the things that it's at the high spectrum of energy efficiency, like all of our houses have that built in. Yeah. Gotcha. We're very conscious of, you know, environmental things.
Real plywood cabinets. That's key. A lot of spec homes, they don't do the we have real plywood cabinets in our home.
So the quality of the home is something that's important to us. Mm-hmm. We go a little bit farther. We give you more. Well, I won't even say a little bit. We give you more because it's important to us, right? We feel like we get scrutinized a lot more being who we are in the market, right? Mm-hmm. From both angles, from both sides, right? So, we make sure that we like deliver at the highest rate, and, we compromise profit in a lot of ways to make sure we give you like better product, you know? Yeah.
Definitely. So as far as what is like the price point, bed, bath, square footage and stuff, and is it all going to be the same or is it going to be different?
Depending on the house, it's all different depending on the homes. But none of our homes are over 300,000 mm-hmm. currently that we have. Everything is 300,000 and below for a spec home. So it do depends on the size and everything determines your price point per square foot.
Got you, man. I'm kind of wishing I was in Shreveport living one of these houses, man.
Oh yeah,
looking online and hearing hearing what y'all are saying about it, I mean, that's a fraction of the price.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You're,
absolutely.
You're, no, that's a fraction of what you pay for something out here, man.
I'm sure them houses here probably be $2 million.
Yeah. So, and not have nearly as much as y'all are having in
the home. Well, you should just come, man. So there's a lot of people leaving California, selling their homes in California, and they buy a lot of the real estate in Texas and Louisiana for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure they could have a lot of money left over, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you have any plans to expand and build in different communities? I know you already do. You already have
big absolutely. Homes in different yeah, places. So 2023, we're opening to a lot of new markets. We're not like discussing exactly those markets right now, but new markets, same model, different cities, larger cities, coming this next year for sure.
Love it. So there are a lot of people who are interested in building. You know, they want to get into the business. You did give some tips earlier. What are, say, the top three things from each of you that they should be doing if they're serious and they want to get into this business? What would you say? Let me start with you, Justin.
Education, right? And education is just not formal, right? It's not form. It doesn't have to be formal education. Like, you should read literature that applies to exactly what it is that you're trying to do. You know, general literature doesn't really like hone in on your skill, right? It's helpful at a certain point, but when I wanted to become a real estate developer, I had to go get like college course books on real estate development. I read all Dunn People's everything. And I just started like specializing in development. I was already an entrepreneur. But I needed to get specific to what I was trying to do. So if you want to build homes, you need to get specific home building literature. You need to watch specific videos on YouTube about home building, right? The financial structure is going to always be like prior to like actually building, right? If you understand the finances of building, you could hire a builder and still profit. So I would say that the financial structure would always be first, understanding like money, the way money works, the way the bank lends it, the way private money, just all the aspects of finances. To be an entrepreneur, period, right? Mm-hmm. Start and understand the finances. What do you got, Tabria?
For me, like you said, education, understanding finances, and saving capital. There would be the top three things: education, understanding finances, and saving capital.
Yeah. And personal development. Yeah. Personal development, right? You have to be ready, right? This is when you're operating at a level like this, is very dangerous. And so you have to have a certain amount of emotional intelligence, and you have to have a certain amount of discipline, right? It's a very dangerous thing if you don't. So I would say make sure that you're mature enough, make sure that you're emotionally mature enough, you know, to get involved in something like this or entrepreneurship. So I hear, just to be totally honest, I hear everybody, entrepreneur, start an LLC, do this and do that. It's not for everyone. It's very, if you're not mentally stable or if you're not ready to take the punches, man, what's wrong with having a good job, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say it's not for everyone. You make sure you're ready before you come here, because you're going to have to run a marathon, and it's going to be a lot of blows that you're going to have to recover from. Right. You're going to have to get off the ground a lot. You know, you're going to have to get used to it. And it's absolutely worth it, though. I'll say that. I'll say it's absolutely worth it. For me, it's absolutely worth it. Yeah.
Love it. So we spoke about your backgrounds a little bit earlier. And again, it's amazing what y'all have been able to do together and what y'all are on the way to do. I want to get into the backstory a little bit, because I know growing up, both of you had exposure to the space and different aspects of it. So we'd love to get a little bit more into that, because I think that's a big part of like what we see now. So we'd love to just hear about your background, getting into the business, exposure you had, all that stuff. We start with you, Terrell.
Well, for me, like I said, my father been in construction. He actually incorporated in 87, which is the year I was born. So ever since I was a baby, I was being exposed to construction. On the weekends, we would go to the job sites with him week after week. And then finally, I guess when I hit about high school, I remember on the weekend doing my first job with him, he had me cleaning out some baptismal pools, picking up cigarette butts on the job site. You know, he left me there and I cleaned up the baptismal pool, swept the site, got it clean. And from that point forward, I was working in the field, you know, doing some things, did some carpentry work, left there. I was working with guys. And I was just like, I can't see myself doing, being on this level my whole life. So I advanced and started doing architectural drawings and some project management in the evening time. So I would work, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock. And then I would go do an estimate at 4 o'clock in the evening. And I would try to put those estimates and stuff together. Then I just went from there and started doing some project management, working on military bases, did a lot of renovation work on dormitories, apartments, replacing the commissary, HVAC units, just very blessed. God put me in a situation to see a lot of things through my father's company that you typically wouldn't get to see at that young age. Just him seeing the gift and on me allowed me to be superintendent on projects at a young age. So wow. Being that superintendent and actually taking a job serious, you know, they say women mature a lot sooner than men, but construction, it makes you mature a lot faster. So actually being on the job a lot sooner, being in these situations, learning how to operate equipment early, it was a natural God-given gift. Went from there and started project management. Then we started building a lot of churches, doing a lot of renovations on the malls, doing interior build outs. Then we expanded working on hospitals in New Orleans and Alexandria, sending those pieces. Then we started working in Charlotte, North Carolina on the convention center. So I was just traveling around working on all these different type of projects, getting experience in them. Broad band of things, you know, until it was time and God spoke to me and showed me along with Justin that it was time for me to kind of, you know, step out, you know, on my own. So that's kind of just a little bit, a little bit of history, a little background. I was already, while I was working with my dad, I was already doing a lot of flips and stuff as well, buying houses. Me and my wife was buying and flipping and selling. That was before she came a realtor. And then just kept growing and we're here now.
Love it. What does your dad think of what you're doing now?
It's development. So he supports me in my decision and everything that I'm doing. But his dream was always for me to, you know, run his company.
Yeah.
To do those things. You know how you had a son that you want to do. You know, so it is a hard pill to swallow, which it was a hard pill for me to leave, because my father, he showed me a lot. He had been right by my side. He never left me, and he's still right by my side, you know. And so it was really a hard pill to swallow, you know. But I'm still swallowing it, you know. Yeah. But I'm making it through, you know, and we here, but he supports me and he's here for me for sure. Matter of fact, we use them. We work vertically with them. They help us on our projects as well. Nice. They're subcontractors for us and help do certain things on the job. So we still working together, making things happen for sure.
Love it, love it. Why you, Justin?
So I grew up in a small town, Manning, Louisiana. Come from a really close-knit family. My granddad was a carpenter, and he pretty much was like the guy who built all of the house. So it's a lot of like shotgun houses and wood frame houses. So he's like the guy who built all the houses in my neighborhood. I would always, when I was really young, I would see him like on the roof, putting roofs on and shingles and I would see him, you know, I see him every morning. I see him get up and put his tool belt on, put his hammer and stuff. And I had another uncle who owned the HVAC company and another uncle who did a lot of plumbing. So, from like 12 and 13, I always worked with my uncle who did HVAC and electrical work. And so I always kind of been around it. I graduated high school and I moved to Dallas and lived with one of my aunts for a while. And I got a job at a large, production home building company. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I worked there for maybe like 6 or 7 months and went off into the Air Force after that. And so, stayed in the Air Force 13 years, 12 and a half years. Decided I was going to go like save the world for a while, you know, and, I did the Air Force thing for 13 years. After that, so while I was in the Air Force though, I started a landscaping firm. So I would cut grass and do landscaping. And that's my entrance into entrepreneurship. Started with a lawnmower and one other guy, you know, and, it went from, I left the Air Force, and so it went from like doing a lot of residential homes. We did a lot of commercial landscaping and a lot. It grew into a pretty nice sized company, basically. And while I was landscaping, I started flipping houses. So I started renovating and flipping houses. And that's kind of how I got into this industry. I went from flipping houses to building new construction houses. And I went to college for a little while to learn to build, but the course was like 4 years. And so I was like, I have children. I got a lot going on. I can't wait 4 years to start, you know? So I asked the professor for all of the books for the rest of the courses. And I bought all the textbooks and I sit down for 3 months and read every textbook from cover to cover.
Who was your professor over there?
Oh yeah. So funny story, Terrell's brother taught me a class in college.
No way.
Yeah.
So I met Justin.
Yeah. So he has a brother who's an engineer. And he taught me a class in college. And so I knew his brother prior to me meeting him. And just for the record, I like his brother a lot more than I like him. So my construction career like happened. That's how it happened. I started building right after I finished those books. I felt like I had enough knowledge. I started building, you know. And the first project I ever done, so I had no mentor either, right? And so the first project I ever done was like, it's a bad experience, man. Subcontractors. That's a whole nother show. So it's a whole nother show. Subcontractors. They'll take you out. Wow. They'll make or break you up. But so that's kind of the journey. We started building a lot of houses. And doing a lot of commercial construction. You know, we got licensing and pretty much everything. And Terrell and I essentially were competitors. Mm-hmm. So, but we would be like two of the only young black guys who were building. So we developed a relationship where we could talk to each other and we could like share our experiences with each other and share our roadblocks with each other, you know? And then we found out we had like a lot in common. We had like real parallel like experiences, you know. And we started working with each other professionally. Like I think the first thing that happened was I hired him and his firm to do a lot of like dirt and concrete work, you know. And he didn't have the best bid. He didn't have the best price, Did not have the best price. So my decision to work with him wasn't based off of like price. It wasn't based off of like, it was based off of this. Mm-hmm. It's based off of, I knew that I would get him here. That would get him here. Right. So, yeah. So it goes from that, for me being a builder, you know, doing things, and for us to say outside one day, like, hey, if we combine our resources and we combine our acumen and our experiences, we could build a national home building brand that could compete with the largest brands in this country. And if we're going to come together, we're going to have to do something that's the biggest. All right. We can't come together and not do the biggest. All right. So we went to Toronto. We had these conversations and we came back from Toronto and we hit the ground running. And the 11th floor, real estate mecca, PhD Homes, Pummelhall Realty. It's the results of, you know, that journey, you know, and it's still to go. We just started.
Right.
This just, we're in the beginning of this, like very early in this marathon, you know, so.
I'm glad I caught y'all early.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get us again later down the road.
I think, you know, the most powerful thing of this interview is just the fact that you two were very successful in your own right and probably would have been fine continuing what you were doing individually. Mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that y'all saw the bigger picture and what you could do. We've said it multiple times throughout the interview, what you could do if you combine your resources. You know, so now you got a community, which is one of many you'll end up building, underway. And, you know, for everybody who's watching, like, you don't have to do it all by yourself. You know, if you have somebody who complements your skills, you probably can do a lot more together. So, you know, I feel like that is one of the main themes of this show and something I really want people to pay attention to. And y'all are a living example of how to do that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. Yeah.
Yep. Anything else you want to leave with the people?
No, just, you know, be on the lookout for Palmer Hall. We're coming to a city near you. We're doing bigger and better things, you know.
Anything? Got anything?
If you're gonna get out of here, just be resilient, you know, and make sure you want it. If you want it, you'll get it though. If you want it, you'll get it. If you're serious about it, you'll achieve it. Yeah, or you'll die, you know.
Love it. Love it. Shout out to Nick Goucher for the connection. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for connecting me with these great brothers. And thank you all for watching another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Again, if you're on YouTube, subscribe, like, share. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you all again, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.